are now listening.
You are now listening to the Backseat Wrestler Podcast.
Look at Randy Orton slithering.
Watch out.
Hosted by Eric and Elvis.
It's LA Knight's game. Yeah.
Aleister Black is finally back where he freaking belongs on SmackDown in WWE. I'm super freaking pumped for that. Oh my God. It was such a great entrance. The crowd was dead. But we'll talk about that once we get to SmackDown. But hello, welcome to the number one wrestling podcast in the world, the Backseat Wrestler Podcast. We are back, better than ever, of course, ready to bring you more wrestling news. This week, of course, we are covering the Raw and SmackDown at the Mania and AEW. I've been able to cover AEW for the past couple of weeks because of course, WrestleMania. But yeah, super pumped. AEW has been killing it lately, I think, personally. I don't know about you, but of course, your host, Eric and
Elvis.
Yeah, what do you think of AEW recently?
No, AEW's been doing good. This week, I thought it was a little pretty mid.
I thought it was cool.
I thought it was pretty mid, but the other weeks before, like the during WrestleMania and the other one, really good. Really? I don't know. I just feel like, It was all right. It wasn't bad. It just wasn't that good. Nothing crazy really happened.
I don't know. I'm enjoying AEW a lot the past couple of weeks. It's been so freaking good, and I'm excited to talk about it again because again we haven't been able to talk about it for the past couple of weeks. But of course, prior to that, we always go over WWE first. Any top stories other than, of course, I think you mentioned like Bianca Belair. She did announce she was injured.
Yeah, I think she broke a couple of fingers at WrestleMania, so she's gonna be out for some time. Other than that, I don't really have anything. Anything else? No,
I don't think so either. Honestly, but yeah, WrestleMania was C+. It was a C+. I think it was pretty good. It was okay. It was all right. Let's just say that
it was a B for me. B.
Yeah, C+, B minus, somewhere around there. But of course, yeah, we could definitely get into Raw. Raw this week had a lot of interesting things happen. Of course, so to get you ready for, of course, Raw tonight because this thing does release on Mondays. Let's get into it now. The main thing that I do want to talk about was, of course, what happened in the main event. We saw the introduction of a new faction, it looks like, of course, with Seth Rollins, Paul Heyman by his side, and a very surprising Braun Breaker.
This was incredible, yo. This was...
Oh, my God.
Nobody saw this coming either.
No, I did not see this coming at all. And you know, we said that when Braun Breaker lost his IC title to Dominic Mysterio, great decision, by the way, at WrestleMania, we were just like, all right, Braun Breaker's going straight to the main event. Straight to the title picture, and boy, did they freaking do that! Oh my God, this has elevated him like freaking crazy.
Yeah, I got a question though. Do you think they are done adding people? You think it's just Seth and Braun, or another person's gonna join?
Yeah, that's what some people are saying. Some people are saying it's probably like new evolution type thing. Are they gonna add somebody else? There's been a lot of rumors of who the heck they can add. But of course, just to give a basic overview of what happened, of course, Seth Rollins and Paul Heyman came out. CM Punk came out to attack him, fight Seth. He did get stomped out. Roman Reigns came out and he ended up getting speared by Braun freaking Breaker. And then Braun Breaker stared down Seth and then speared CM Punk. Yeah. Then thus joining forces with Seth Rollins. Yeah. It was crazy.
The thing with Evolution though was to get young guys more over or to put them to the top. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Seth is the veteran, and then you got Paul Heyman, who's like the best manager.
Who's like Ric Flair.
So Braun Breaker is like the younger guy, but if they add another guy, it's gotta be another young guy. I wonder who.
Well, a lot of people are making the comparisons. They're saying like Seth is Triple H, Paul Heyman is Ric Flair, Braun Breaker is probably going to be like Batista, and then of course Randy could be like Carmelo Hayes. Carmelo Hayes is a freaking monster.
Yeah,
I think
another guy who deserves a push. He's like always stuck in this mid card or tag team is Austin Theory.
Theory, yeah,
he's a good heel.
Yeah, Theory would be great for it. Theory would be wonderful for that, honestly. But my top two picks would be Theory or Carmelo Hayes, for sure. No,
yeah,
you're right.
Yeah, those two are good because Carmelo, he's a great heel too. So
yeah, no, for sure. I think Carmelo, like his best stuff was in NXT, of course, when he was him. Of course, his gimmick him. But honestly.
Or they bring up somebody from NXT like Trick Williams.
Yeah, Trick would be awesome too. Honestly, Trick would be pretty cool. I would not mind that. And Trick might be coming up like very, very soon. Honestly, I don't really think there's anything left for him in NXT. Especially after he just lost that triple threat. That match was fantastic, by the way. Shout out Opal
Fenty. NXT's been cooking, too.
Oh, my God.
NXT's been cooking.
For sure. But yeah, oh my god, yeah, freaking Bron Breakker joining Seth Rollins, like that dude is like a top star now. I can't wait to see what the heck they're gonna go with this. Again, I still see them adding at least one more person. I don't know who the heck
Evolution 2.0 would definitely be fire. They come out with some, they put some nice fire entrance music.
Yeah,
not Death Rebel type where it's like something in the beginning and then just and then just mediocre rock music. No, like an actual song.
Their song Evolution and then freaking generic
rock
song 4 starts playing.
Every freaking thing has been like everybody's like new entry. That's why I'm glad they didn't change Aleister Black's.
Oh my god, yeah.
We're gonna talk about that. But that was fire. We're gonna talk about that obviously when we get to there, but
oh yeah. But yeah, I'm super excited for Raw tonight. Raw is gonna give us a lot of answers. Hopefully they add somebody else, like I said. You're right about Austin Theory. I feel like Theory will probably make the most sense at the moment since Carmelo Hayes kind of has that storyline with The Miz at the moment. Unless they just drop it, which they could. They honestly could immediately.
Another guy who's – but I think he's still injured. Another guy who's definitely going to – when he comes back, he's going to be like near main event scene is Bronson Reed.
Bronson Reed, yeah.
He had beef with Seth before he left, so I don't know.
Yeah, that's true. He had beef with Seth. He did take him out. And also, he's out for like a year. Like that was a bad injury.
But when he comes back, he's definitely going to be, because they were pushing him too right before he got hurt.
Oh, yeah, 100%. But yeah, of course, other than that, we had a couple of other major stuff that happened, such as the John Cena promo, basically introducing himself as the new, of course, WWE champion, stating that he's going to retire with that. It's going to be the end of that, basically, like the storyline of that freaking. The legacy of the title, the legacy of the title, I guess you want to say. It's going to be the end of the legacy of the title. He's going to be the final person with it. And then, of course, surprisingly, not surprisingly, he does get RKO'd out of nowhere by freaking Randy Orton. We can talk about this now, too. Why the hell not? On SmackDown, they had a little back and forth segment, of course, between John Cena and Randy Orton. They were going back and forth. It was really freaking funny. John Cena kind of pulled out his Thuganomics thing where he was flaming like a 7-year-old in the crowd. That was freaking hilarious.
That was hilarious. Oh, and then God. And then Randy Orton was trying to convince John to have some kids. They were just, you know, they're like friends back this back, like
backstage.
So they're just going at it. They're trying not to break character.
Nah, bro, don't you remember when freaking Randy Orton posted those photos on Twitter where he was like hugging like a cardboard cutout of John Cena and the caption was like "Miss you" or something like that. But yeah, that was great. Honestly, I'm super pumped for it. Like John Cena was saying, how the only reason why he doesn't have kids is because he spent 25 years or a quarter of a century raising brats like you, like aka the crowd, which was hilarious. Like us basically. Shout out John Cena. But anyways, yeah, I'm super pumped for this rivalry. A lot of people, a lot of like new wrestling fans never got to see this rivalry, so. They get to see this for the first time. This rivalry is one of the greatest rivalries of all time. It's going to be great.
And this is great for Randy Orton, his hometown. He gets that like final match with John Cena. Maybe not final. I'm not sure. We'll see. But in his hometown, he gets the main event for a title.
I'm pumped. I was kind of hoping to see like Randy Orton potentially like he looks like he's going to hit the punt kick on Cena. Maybe Cena rolls out the ring or something like that. I would love to see how they implement that because remember the whole storyline going into WrestleMania when he was going to face Kevin Owens was he's going to hit that punt kick. He hears the voices in his head. He's kind of playing it into like the voices in his head a little bit more again. So if they do that, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I don't know, but we just have to wait and see. This storyline is going to be great.
Turn heel against John, I don't know, not yet.
Yeah, but they did officially confirm Cena is going to face him at Backlash in St. Louis, which is, of course, Randy Orton's hometown. Cena basically stating, I want you at your best. I want to beat you in your hometown, in front of your family, in front of your kids, etc. So that's going to be a great match. I can't wait for it. They play off each other so freaking well. They know each other so well. So I think it's going
to
be
a way
better freaking match than, of course, the one he had against Cody Rhodes. Because that was okay. Yeah. It was all right.
Yeah. Cody's probably going to be out for a while.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. Of course, we also had the return of Rusev. That was pretty cool. Rusev returned and beat the crap out of Alpha Academy. That's not going to really lead into any storyline, but
no, it was just to show off, just show him off. That's it.
Yeah,
that he's a dominant force again.
Yeah, you know what I'm hoping for, and it kind of looked like it that he kind of builds off the character he had in AEW. Like
a little bit, yeah.
It kind of looked like he still had that in him, like the Miro character, like the the God Punisher, whatever the heck he was called.
Yeah. Is Miro not his actual name, though? So it wasn't even really a character. It was just actually him.
Yeah, but like the, you know what I meant? Yeah. Like the gimmick that he had there.
The God, the Punisher and everything.
Yeah, the Punisher type gimmick that he had. I hope that he implements that into, of course, WWE. I hope
like the theme was all right. It was pretty good.
Yeah, the theme was cool. I liked it. I'm happy he didn't go back to Rusev Day. I feel like he should be more of a very serious character, which it looks like they're going to push him like that. So that's going to be freaking great. I'm pumped for it. So, yeah, shout out Rusev. He's back in WWE. I'm not sure where the heck they're going to plug him in. But
they better not. Like,
I hope they push him.
Put him. Better not be straight mid-card.
Yeah. Well, he could be mid-card for a little while. I can see him winning the IC title off of Dom eventually. Maybe, like, Finn costs him the title, etc.
Yeah. When I mean mid-card, I just mean, like you're just in the, you're not really doing much.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Of course, we also had the Women's Tag Team Championship match between Judgment Day, Liv Morgan, and Raquel Rodriguez versus Lyra Valkyria and Becky Lynch. Of course, Becky Lynch and Valkyria won the titles at WrestleMania just to lose it the very first Raw after Mania, which is kind of crazy.
Yes.
That was insane.
But I think it makes sense the way they did it, though, because Becky's too good to be in a tag team. So, like, I'm glad they won it. She got her moment on her return. And then now she lost it and she turned heel. She beat the hell out of Lyra Valkyria after the match.
I mean,
so yeah, Liv Morgan and Raquel are champions again, 4 times. So they're probably the best women's tag team ever. and then Becky Lynch heel. So you can have a feud with the women's Intercontinental Championship. Maybe put some. How do you remember? We were saying that this title has no
story behind it. No, like,
no story. Nothing.
Nothing good. Glamorous. No drama. No, nothing like that behind it.
Becky can make it like that, like a top belt.
Oh yeah, no, I'm hoping that of course she ends up winning it, and then she could bring a lot of prestige to it. Lyra Valkyria, don't get me wrong, great champion, she's been great, but they just haven't given her anything. Unfortunately, I feel like she can do so much more with it. But again, it's fine. It plays into the storyline. Of course, Lyra Valkyria did defeat Becky Lynch in NXT when she was NXT Women's Champion, so it makes perfect sense as to why they're doing this. I understand why they did it too. Obviously, they knew that Becky wasn't going to get booed her first night back. Everybody's going to be super pumped to see her, so why not book her as a face the first night and then immediately turn her heel to fit with your plans that you want to do with her? Makes sense. I'm happy that they did it. I'm cool. Yeah, exactly. To get rid of the man gimmick. She doesn't need it anymore. Do something else, please. I would not mind if she does something else. The man gimmick is overplayed, just saying. I'm happy Becky Lynch is back. Can't wait to see what the heck she can do as a heel, but we'll see what the heck they build off of it from here. Of course, we also had... honestly, a shocker, and I was super pumped for it. Io Sky versus Stephanie Valkyrie. That kind of just very shocking, honestly. Great freaking match, though. I'm so mad it ended in a no contest.
So I mean, pissed. I'm not mad. The NXT Women's Champion and then the Women's World Championship does not lose. They don't get pinned. I'm actually perfectly fine with the no contest. And it builds storylines for both of them. Obviously, we can talk about it. It was a Roxanne Perez and Julia attacked both of them, right?
Yeah.
And then Rhea Ripley had to come out to make the save, but...
Yeah, I understand that Rhea Ripley being there, and obviously she said, like, I'm still coming after that title. That's cool. I didn't think she needed to be there, but I'm happy that, of course, she has, like, some sort of storyline, I guess. I guess she's just going to build her way back up. But, yeah, the whole Roxanne Perez and Gilia teaming with each other, that was surprising. And it was actually pretty cool.
Yeah. That's good, though. Yeah, that's definitely good. That's why NXT has been on fire. And Stephanie Couture has been, like, the best women's wrestler in the last few months. Like, in all of the damn freaking, like, in all of WWE.
Yeah, no, for sure. Yeah, Stephanie Valkyrie has been killing it. Booker T is insane whenever she does her move, though.
That devil, what's called, like, the devil's kiss or something? Yeah. He goes, like, and the whole crowd does it.
Yeah, there's, like, Booker literally signs. Bucket T be forgetting he married sometimes, I swear.
Yeah, he's not funny though for NXT.
I saw a clip and I forgot. I want to shout out the person who did it, but it was somebody who made a video and it was like Bucket T like going home every night to his wife after NXT, and it's like him like getting ready, like setting up the bed on the couch, like
yeah.
It's like every Tuesday he sleeps on the couch when he goes home.
Yeah, he just plays. He plays perfectly into that, like, that commentary role.
It's so funny. And then Stephanie Valkyrie plays into it, too, now. Every single time she does it, she points
to... Yeah, she points it, yeah.
She points to Booker T, like, this is for you. It's so funny.
But, yeah, that match was actually really good, like you said. They probably never wrestled each other. I'm not sure, actually. But And then they had a great match. And then, yeah, they both don't lose. They both had their belts. And now they got a storyline. Stephanie McCurry has to deal with Roxanne Perez and Julia. And then with Io, I don't know if they're doing again. Rhea, I feel like Rhea and Io have wrestled 100,000 times. And Rhea's been Women's World Champion so much. Not so much, but like she's been involved with that title for a while now. I feel like a change is needed. And what I mean by change is like she needs to go after the WWE Women's Championship. And then, I don't know. They got to somehow change something. But maybe they'll do a draft June or something. I don't know.
Yeah, you know what I was hoping for? I was hoping for Julia to face, of course, Stephanie Valkyrie. That'd be fine. And then, of course, Roxanne Perez to move up to start facing Io Sky. Why the heck not? Move her up.
Yeah, she should definitely be in the I mean, roster. She attacks both of them, so maybe she's – I don't know.
I'm hoping so. Honestly, it'd be great. Roxanne Perez has done everything that you could possibly imagine in NXT. There's no reason to keep her there. She needs to get moved up. You can put her in a title picture. She doesn't need to win. She can just lose. But it would be a great showcase for her to go after the of course, world title. Even if she loses, she's still elevated to a main event spot and, of course, a main event talent on a main roster. Why the heck not? It'd be great.
And I do like these like NXT that they're putting more NXT people on Raw, SmackDown to wrestle even when and there's like Roxanne's been on both brands for a while now actually.
Yeah. So exactly, and they have nothing for her. They just keep moving her up and down. That's what I'm saying. If they do this, even if she loses, at least she's a well-established main event talent on the main roster, and then she could just go about doing a couple more feuds with just basic people. Why the heck not? You need new main event people on that women's division. It's always the same.
Yeah,
people.
Charlotte. Charlotte's almost out of there. Becky's, she's semi kind of retired. She comes back a little bit and then leaves again.
I feel like she's going to be part time. I see it. I don't think she's going to be
Still, she's already up there. She has a family.
Yeah.
A lot of these, like, they're all Bayley's probably pretty soon.
Bayley might leave. A couple years left. Did you see that, by the way? Let's talk about that real quick. Did you see that interview that she had? Well, I think with Chris Van Vliet, if I'm not mistaken.
No. Well,
all right, so in a Becky, not Becky Lynch, sorry, Bayley. Bayley in a recent interview was talking about, apparently it was like right before WrestleMania, but they asked her about like what she's doing for WrestleMania, how she feels about it, et cetera. And she basically was stating that, I know this is going to be a lot different. Her words were basically like, oh, this is going to seem like, this is definitely going to come out a lot different, especially because like this is coming out after WrestleMania, but sometimes I feel like I should be saying no to things and I don't. And, you know, because I'm Bayley. Like, why should I do that? It doesn't make any sense for me to do that.
I did see the quote.
Yeah.
And she was talking about Karrion Kross, about what he said about being a good guy and being like a team player gets you nowhere.
And that's exactly what her does.
That's what she said. And she said, she was talking about Karrion Kross. So she said, Karrion said the same thing. And I kind of agree with him. It's true.
Yeah. Well, like, if you think about it, out of the four women's horsemen, she's been disrespected the most.
She's definitely obviously had title runs and everything. Like, she's done great for herself. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, out of the four, I say.
And, yeah, of course, Sasha isn't there anymore, but she had, like, how many freaking titles beforehand? She had all the major feuds.
And now she has, like, seven titles in AEW.
Yeah, exactly. She's killing it in AEW.
Yeah, and then Charlotte obviously had, like, what, 14 title reigns. So she's obviously a Hall of Famer. And then
Becky Lynch, Hall of Famer. She's the man getting at the top of the division.
You know? And Becky Lynch, Bayley's going to be a Hall of Famer, obviously. She's still a multiple China champion. It's just, I agree with you, lately, like, the last few years.
Yeah, they haven't really. She's kind of like the person that puts people over now.
Especially after Damage Control.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, even while she was in Damage Control, remember, she was putting people over too.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and again, it's fine, but also, like, she has a right to feel like she's being disrespected. She also has a right to feel like she should be able to say no to things and actually change up storylines based on what they give her, considering the fact that all she really does is put people over now.
And I mean, it's kind of like John Cena in his last few years before he just did this return.
Yeah.
Where he was losing a lot and putting a lot of guys over, like even put Solo over. That's kind of what she's doing now.
Yeah, no, exactly. But anyways, moving on from that, we had, just really quickly, Dirty Dom, of course, defeating Penta with a returning JD. That was pretty cool. I think they're setting up Finn Balor versus Dom eventually down the line very soon, I think. Can't wait for that. That's going to be great. I hope that Dom retains. I feel like he is. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's when Judgment Day is actually going to officially take turn on Finn. So that should be cool. And then we had Jey Uso promo celebration. Nothing really much to talk about there.
Yeah, with Sami Zayn and Jimmy.
Exactly. But we can talk about the other main thing that did happen, which was, of course, Gunther attacking the commentary team. Because
he goes wild.
Yeah, because of the disrespect they were giving him. Obviously,
not disrespect.
They were just saying that he lost the freaking and he tapped out to Jey Uso.
But I like that. Yo, the way they did it was like, oh, like
it was yo, with like Pat McAfee's
perfect
team.
Storytelling.
Yo, that was
Pat, yeah, the Pat McAfee show. All his guys got in. Well, first he pushed Pat McAfee because Pat McAfee was trying. He was going after Michael Cole first. Remember?
Yeah.
And then he pushes Pat McAfee. And then he puts Michael Cole in the chokehold. Pat McAfee comes hit. Somebody screaming behind me. But yeah,
Hispanic
he hits
mothers, by the way, just saying.
Yes, yeah. But he hit so he hits Gunther, and then Gunther obviously chokes out Pat McAfee while everybody else is going quiet.
Yeah,
crazy.
It was crazy. No, it was insane, honestly. And I'm super pumped for it. I honestly think they're gonna do a storyline, and I would not mind if they do this at all. Some people might say this is just a throwaway thing, but Pat McAfee versus Gunther, that'd be freaking hilarious. Come on now. Pat McAfee has
proven
he can go in the ring. He can go on.
Yeah, it is going to be a throwaway thing. So I understand what people are saying. It like Gunther deserves to be in the big, big spots. But yeah, just for something real quick to do, it'll probably be one of these pay-per-views. It's not bad. It's pretty.
Why the hell not? Honestly, and I feel like I just got a little thing. Honestly, why the hell not? And it'd be really freaking cool too. Because imagine if they do a storyline where basically Pat McAfee is like he gets injured in some sort of way. Maybe he needs a couple weeks off, and they do it that way. Like he has a match against Gunther.
Yeah.
He gets injured, quote unquote, kayfabe out of commentary for a couple weeks. I feel like maybe he has something planned. He has something he has to do very soon with ESPN, etc.
I kind of feel a little different about that. It's not even about Pat McAfee, because you saw when Michael Cole came back, he was telling Adam Pearce, "You have to do something about this. We can't feel fear about speaking about our opinions and stuff." No. I feel like it's going to turn into something like that where the commentary team is like almost in a strike. Remember how WWE did against like Triple H and them years ago? Yeah. I feel like it's going to be something like that.
Yeah, where Michael Cole was not happy.
The commentary team is going to be like, we need I don't know how to say, like security or protection to say and do whatever, like what we please, our opinions and stuff.
Well, that's
I don't know, just the way he was talking.
Yeah. Well, also, like there was that whole thing with, of course, what was it on Pat McAfee's show? Pat McAfee was saying like, "Hey, Gunther, like I'm not going to sit there and let you attack my friends. Like if you want some, come get some." So I feel like that's what I'm saying. It's going to build into a storyline. And again, if you're not watching Pat McAfee's show, what the hell are you doing? That dude's freaking great.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was basically it for Raw. Unless I'm missing something, I don't think so. I think we're good.
Now we went through every nice. Major. Thing to Raw.
Awesome. But yeah, Raw was freaking great. I'm pumped to see what the heck they're gonna do with, of course, Bron Breakker and Seth Rollins and stuff. That's gonna be so freaking cool. But yeah, let's go ahead and move on to WWE SmackDown. SmackDown surprisingly had a title change, so let's get into that. All right, let's go ahead and get into, of course, WWE SmackDown. SmackDown this week was okay.
Yeah, it was all right. No, it was good. I'm lying. The TLC match was great. It was actually really good. I was only joking.
Yeah, the TLC match was great. It was funny. Let's talk about that right now. Why the hell not? TLC WWE Tag Team Championship match. It should have been at WrestleMania, by the way, but it wasn't. Of course, yep. Between the Street Profits for DIY versus Motor City Machine Guns. Great match. Great match. Honestly, yeah. It was hilarious. Yeah. But too, some guy had a prosthetic leg that Montez Ford took out of the crowd and beat the crap out of. Was it Johnny Gargano with? That was hilarious.
It was somebody. Yeah, it was one of them.
You know, it was freaking hilarious. The dude really grabbed the prosthetic leg, beat the crap out of him, and then threw it back to the guy. The whole crowd was cheering. I love when they grab stuff in the crowd. They don't do that as much as they used to. But
It's obviously like off script. He's just right off the rip.
So funny, though. It was great. But yeah, of course, that match was fun. Street Profits ended up retaining. I feel like as they should. I don't think they should have lost it, especially right now. Yeah,
they just had the belts not that long.
Exactly. They just won those titles, so there's no need for them to lose it. I thought it was a great decision. Street Profits retain. Where do they go from here? Not really sure. I just thought it was a great decision. I feel like this should have been at WrestleMania, though.
This is the only thing about winning like a multi-man tag match like this, because then it's like, who do you face next? Because you already faced most of the teams already. And remember, they just beat Pretty Deadly too. Like what, a week ago, 2 weeks ago? So it's like, I don't know where they go from here.
They could build up, of course, the debut from the NXT faction. That'd be pretty cool. Faxium defeated Los Garza. Of course, that was the first match of the night. Sorry, right after the John Cena Randy Orton promo. Faxium's actually pretty good, though. They're really freaking good. They're so awesome. They're so fun to watch. But anyways, yeah, Faxium, again, ended up defeating Los Garzas, which is pretty cool. I'm pretty happy about that. Although I still think the Los Garzas are getting disrespected to hell. Oh, my God. Yeah, Angel and Humberto are so good. They're so good. They're so good. Oh, my God. Like, I feel like they should get pushed so... I don't know. I feel like they should be champions. Not right now, but they should have won those tag team titles at least once or twice by now.
Or at least been in the damn scene of the
tag team. Bro, they're so good. They lose every match. They're so good. Like they don't know what, guess what the heck they have there. I feel like Angel could have been the next Eddie Guerrero. And I know that's crazy to say. That's my hot take. I feel like Angel has the potential to become an Eddie Guerrero type guy. Not saying he's going to reach the levels of Eddie Guerrero, but I feel like he definitely could have played a role like that.
That's Dom.
Dom is different, though. Dom is like just heel straight up. I'm talking about like face, heel, etc. Like, I don't know. I feel like he could have reached those levels. He's pretty good in the ring. He's decent on the mic. He has like the build for it. I just felt like they would have been great. But anyways, seeds her own. Of course, we had Tiffany Stratton coming out, basically, of course, just doing a little celebration for her win against Charlotte Flair, as she should. And of course, interrupted by Jay Cargill. Well, that was kind of surprising. Jay Cargill basically stating like, hey, I already took care of my business. You took care of yours. Let's go ahead and have a match. Match right there and then. Match happens, and it turns out Jay Cargill did not handle her business.
No. Nothing at all. Just continue. Yeah, so Naomi come out. She took out Jade, obviously. And then Nia Jax, again, involved with Tiffany Stratton. She came back, laid out Tiffany Stratton.
Yeah.
And held up the title. So looks like she wants revenge, I guess.
I feel like that's just like a filler match for Backlash, which I'm fine with, honestly.
Yeah, yeah. Most of the matches on Backlash, they're going to be filler matches.
Yeah. No, exactly. Unfortunately, that's just how it is with Backlash. That's how it is with the
Backlash first pay-per-view.
After Mania, it's always just filler matches. It's either filler matches or rematches. That's all it really is. But yeah, of course, it looks like they're probably just going to run that back. Tiffany Stratton's probably going to win. I don't see her losing that title until at least SummerSlam, if anything. I think she might hold it for longer, but at the very least until SummerSlam. But yeah, I'm fine with it, I guess. By the way. What rumors?
I saw rumors, by the way, it's kind of random, about John Cena and Travis Scott having a match versus Bad Bunny and somebody else.
Oh, my God.
That they're actually in talks. They don't know who the other guy is, but it's Bad Bunny and somebody else versus John Cena and Travis Scott. That's going to be definitely like one of those random pay-per-view
matches. I don't know. Backlash is full of random stuff, though. They even have, not really random, but just like throwaway matches. Like they have Bron Breakker and Seth Rollins versus Roman Reigns and CM Punk.
Damn, they already made that?
I'm pretty sure they already made that. Yeah, it's a tag team match for Backlash.
That's not random. That they just
attacked. It is not random, but it's also just like just throwing. Let's just put these two in a tag team because they hate the same person. You know what I mean?
Well, I'm going for the heels because that's how they got to build up.
There's no way. And I hope Bron Breakker gets the pin too. That'd be great.
Or maybe they're about to lose and they get help and they end up winning from another third member.
Yeah. For real, like Carmelo Hayes or Austin Theory, like you said. That'd be pretty cool.
Yes. Or surprise somebody else. I don't know.
Not sure who else. I think those two are the top two contenders for sure. But yeah, of course, other than that, we had a very surprising Women's United States Championship match between Zelina Vega and Chelsea Green. And Chelsea Green ended up losing. Zelina Vega picks up her first singles title. Singles title championship in WWE. Well-deserved, I think, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah,
she's been there for a while. I'm so pumped that she won. Honestly, I feel like she deserves it. She's a great women's wrestler. She's pretty good on the freaking mic. She has a lot of fans, a lot of people behind her.
She's got an island behind her. So
she got a whole island behind her, exactly. So I think it's a great decision, honestly. That'd be pretty cool if they run back a pay-per-view in Puerto Rico and she comes out as a U.S. champion. That'd be freaking amazing. Yeah.
I don't know if they'll do that. Maybe they'll have a rematch on Backlash.
Yeah, probably. You know. I wish Backlash was back in Puerto Rico. That was like one of the best crowds ever, though. It was so good. Yeah. But yeah, of course, I'm pumped for Zelina Vega. I'm sad for Chelsea Green, though. Chelsea Green kind of got disrespected when she was champion.
She was a good champion to me.
She was a good champion, yeah, but I felt like they could have did so much more with her. I don't know. That's just me. But yeah, of course, we also had the major big thing that I'm super freaking pumped for, the return of Aleister Black into WWE. Yep. He came out and attacked The Miz. Yeah, Zelina Vega's husband, of course, Aleister Black. But yeah, and it's always so weird whenever that guy remember, like, oh yeah, they're together. Like, it just, yeah, it doesn't right. really seem
why do
like
people,
they yeah. match very well. But why do people, they do.
People always return, I feel like, against The Miz just to take him out.
So, I don't know. The Miz is just, he's the, first of all, The Miz is a Hall of Famer.
That oh, 100%.
That dude's a two-time Triple Crown champion. That dude has won everything twice. So, like, he's yeah. And he solidified
puts
Hall of Fame.
Everybody, he puts everybody over. Like, everybody.
Yeah. No, he does. Yeah, he's great. I love The Miz. The Miz is so underrated. But, yeah,
and his promos when he actually gets pissed about, like, not being pushed on him. Remember those promos?
They're really good.
And the whole crowd gets into it, even when he's a heel.
Yeah. No. That's the thing. The Miz can be that character who builds everybody up. But when he wants to, he can be a main event star. And that dude's great. Yeah. But anyways, yeah, Aleister Black came out, took out The Miz. No storyline there, just more so a showcase for Aleister Black. What do you think Aleister Black's going to do in WWE now that he's back?
Well, first, I hope he gets a major push. But first, he's going to face The Miz this SmackDown coming up.
Yeah.
They already announced that. But once he gets through The Miz, I don't know. WWE needs that character, like almost like The Undertaker.
The dark, mysterious character.
The dark, mysterious character that destroys everybody. They have an opportunity to do it. They couldn't do it the first time. AEW couldn't do it. Can they do it now?
I saw some people like saying like they should build like another faction with him. Kind of like him, Rhea, and like maybe like Damian Priest. Which is like, that's kind of just running back Judgment Day 2.0 if you want to do that. I don't really think that makes sense.
He just got out of a faction. He was held in a faction the whole time in AEW.
Yeah.
He needs to be a single superstar.
It sucks so bad because he only had like 3 singles matches his last like year in AEW. It was freaking insane. They dropped the ball on him. Like,
so much better.
They dropped the ball on him like crazy. It was insane.
But it's not only him. Brody King was there. Buddy Matthews, they're all actually really good. They could have that faction could have been so much better. But anyways, we're not talking about that right now. But
yeah.
But yeah, Aleister Black, he's gotta be like that new dominant, mysterious character. I don't know if they would do it, but
I know that his potential is unlimited. He can be WWE champion if they really want to. But that's only if they book him properly. I don't see him beating Cena for it or anything. I'm just saying that it'd be great to see that.
I think he has more potential than probably Miro. Like, he might be above Miro. Like,
yeah, no, I agree. I 100% agree. I feel like he definitely has more potential than Rusev in WWE. I feel like there's a lot more growth for him, especially because he's on SmackDown. I feel like there's a lot more growth for him on SmackDown than there would be on Raw. I don't know. I just feel like there's so much stuff they can do with him. In terms of who he can take the title off of, too. I see him potentially take, I don't know, because then Jacob Fatu was freaking great.
Yeah, I don't see him in the title picture right now. That's the only thing. I feel like they can build him as the guy that doesn't need the title, but he's still like almost a main eventer. Like, remember the Undertaker went years without a title. Like remember he went like 8 years in a row or something without.
Yeah,
and he was obviously WrestleMania the streak. Obviously, it's because of the streak. Let's be honest.
But yeah,
they're not gonna do that with Aleister Black, but they got. I don't know. There's got to be a way. Make him that next big supernatural.
I'm just upset that the freaking crowd wasn't like screaming. Like, bro, I would have been on my feet. You would have heard me in that crowd. That's for damn sure.
The crowd's been mid for a while. I don't know what's going on.
It's been terrible. But yeah.
Now that I say supernatural, what the hell's the Y6? Like, they just dropped the ball completely on that.
I mean, like, apparently, like, Bo Dallas is injured, so that's why they aren't really doing much with
him. But I didn't even really like, even when he wasn't injured, I didn't even like what they were doing. I didn't even like the way Uncle Howdy was presented. I feel like the way before he was presented, remember, I thought it was way better than what he was doing now.
Oh, I agree. I feel like they definitely dropped the ball in the Wyatt 6 storyline. I'm not sure what the hell they're going to do with them, but I guess we're going to have to wait and see. But yeah, I feel like this is going to be great. I feel like Aleister Black on SmackDown makes sense because you have somebody who has like that dark, mysterious character on Raw, and I think that's Karrion Kross. They still need to push Karrion Kross to the freaking moon. They really do. Oh my god. But yeah, of course. Sorry, I lost my train of thought. Aleister Black is back. I think he's going to be a future WWE champion if they book him properly. But of course, not anytime soon. I feel like within like next like year or two. It's a big if. It depends on how the heck they're going to book him. But I just feel like I hope he doesn't get lost in the shuffle. Of course, other than that, I want to talk about the Jacob Fatu's celebration of him winning the U.S. title, by the way, when he came out looking fresh as hell with, of course, the Raiders jersey backwards that said Fatu. He had the freaking the title around his neck. Came out with Solo basically giving him props.
Still looking like the tribal chief, like he thinks he's a tribal chief still.
Exactly, and that's why I want to talk about it. So basically, freaking Solo was in the ring telling
credit.
Yeah, he was taking all the credit. Like, oh, you see what happens when you're loyal to me, you see what I can do for you, da da da. And Jacob Fatu snatches the freaking mic from him. It's just
because he was like, I'm the one that brought him here. I'm the one that made him.
Yeah,
I'm the reason why he won the title is what he was saying.
Yeah, so freaking Fatu took that and was just like, hell nah, bro. Like, I told you, I was winning this with or without you, and I won it without you. So I was like, don't be trying to take all the credit here, this and that.
Yeah.
They're still building that little
friction. That's obviously going to lead to something.
Yeah, they're still building that friction between them. I can't wait for that match. I hope they build it up. I feel like they're probably going to have that match at SummerSlam, Fatu versus Solo. Going to be a great match, I think. I think it's going to be freaking cool.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see what that is going to happen. I feel like Fatu wins and Solo has to fall in line with him. That could honestly be great storytelling with Solo. Like, he loses to Roman Reigns. Now he loses to Fatu. And now they can build him up from there. Like, if they build him up from there, they can actually make him who they've been trying to portray him as, which is this big, tough guy who can defeat anybody. Like, if he loses to Fatu, he's at his lowest low, and then he can build up from there and eventually beat Fatu. Maybe even eventually face Roman.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
He was just, what was he, like the street champion? That was like his gimmick? Like,
yeah. I don't know. I feel like they can do so much more with him. But again, I feel like they need to build him down to his lowest point and then build him back up from there. And although, yeah, he kind of had his lowest point, but they never really showed it when he lost like freaking 40-something matches in a row.
Yeah, but that was kind of his lowest point. That's what I'm saying.
But still, but that's the thing. They never transitioned that into, oh, now I'm gonna start going off. Like, no, they just did that. They went from that match, that losing streak, to I am the tribal chief, which is why nobody was behind it. I feel like they got to build him to his lowest point and have a storyline where he actually builds himself up. Then people can finally get behind him, because he's low-key started building a character for himself in the middle of that storyline with Roman Reigns, and that's when people started cheering for him. Build off of that. That's all I'm saying.
He was obviously doing good. And then, boy, that led to LA Knight, Drew McIntyre come out demanding a match.
Yeah.
And then they made that match for number one contenders for the U.S. title. So LA Knight versus Drew McIntyre ended in a no contest. Solo Sikoa.
Yeah, Solo Sikoa came out, attacked Knight, and then, of course, Priest came out also and put Drew through a table. So I guess that feud is not over. They're probably going to run it back at Backlash. I wished it was over. I don't think they need the feud anymore, but I guess not.
Yeah, they had a great street fight, which Drew had the perfect ending with that. I mean, what was I going to say? What the hell is this move? The Claymore. Yeah, he Claymored him through the chair, pinned him clean. They could have ended right there. They didn't have to pretend like
they should have ended it right there. I'm not sure why the hell they didn't, but I guess whatever. It's fine. I'm just hoping that, of course, this leads to, it's probably just going to lead to LA Knight getting his rematch against Fatu. Fatu's probably going to win. Fatu's probably going to be very pissed off at Solo for, of course, getting involved in that. And that's going to cause even more friction between them. Of course, I think Tama Tonga is still out injured. He's going to be out for a while. Tongaloa's out injured. So, like, it's like nobody else there for them. So, they got to wait it out. I feel like they're going to wait for them to come back, because they want to build a storyline where they have to choose sides as well, which honestly makes perfect sense. Sorry, but yeah, honestly, SmackDown was pretty good. I don't really think there was anything else that did, of course, occur. But yeah, it was a pretty good SmackDown. I think it built great into, of course, the Backlash storylines that are going to happen. Again, the John Cena Randy Orton thing happened. Yeah, it's only in a couple weeks. John Cena Randy Orton, we talked about that during our Raw segment. So yeah, super pumped for that match as well. But yeah, that was basically it for WWE. I think the Raw and SmackDown after WWE was great. Had a couple of surprise returns. Had a good two title changes, of course, which was pretty awesome, I think. That was pretty cool. But yeah, that was basically it for WWE. I guess now we can get into, of course, the AEW side of things now. All right, let's go ahead and get into, of course, AEW Dynamite. Dynamite this week, of course, was... I thought it was good. Elvis thought it was bad.
No. Not bad, just nothing crazy. I thought it was mostly random.
Boring. You said it was boring.
Yeah, it was both kind of boring. I still watched the whole show, like I am like a fan. I'm gonna watch the whole show, and I still enjoy some parts of it.
I liked it a lot. Just
overall, I don't know.
Yeah, so let's get into it. Of course, the only thing I didn't like was the, of course, Death Riders. But yeah, the Elite and Death Riders ended up attacking the Ops. Of course, Swerve Strickland and Kenny Omega came out to make the save. And then, of course, because they basically attacked Samoa Joe with a chair. The Samoa Joe was choking out, of course, John Moxley.
Yeah,
so that was pretty cool.
He made it clear he's going after the title.
Yeah, and then they did of course, officially confirm that match is going to happen. So super excited for that. Again, Samoa Joe versus John Moxley. Unfortunately, I don't think Samoa Joe is going to win. I feel like this is probably going to be the final, of course, successful title defense for John Moxley until he loses to whoever the hell wins the Owen Hart Cup tournament. And that's
going to be all in.
Yeah, all in is going to lose. But yeah, I'm pumped that Samoa Joe is going to get that main event status again. It looks like he's going to go after John Moxley. That match is going to be freaking great.
Yeah.
Do you think he's going to win or do you think he's going to lose? Because I feel like he's just going to lose.
No. I feel like because the Death Rider story has been going on for so long that they're not going to make Moxley lose at the pay-per-view right before the actual big show. It's going to be a big moment or big feud to lose, I think.
Yeah. No, I was going to say, like, unfortunately, it feels like, I don't know, like the main event title picture for AEW has been so stagnant the past, like, couple months. And it's literally just because the Death Rider storyline has been so freaking trash. Everything else in AEW has been amazing, honestly. I feel like, you know, they turned a lot of things around, of course, with Adam Cole winning the TNT title. We have FTR turning heel. Of course, what the tag team champions, freaking Hurt Syndicate, have been freaking amazing. Omega, of course, as champion, has been great. I don't know. Everything has been cool, except for the main event title picture with the AEW World Title, because that thing it built somebody up for a little bit, having to lose to Moxley, and it's just the same exact way they lose all the time by Death Riders, of course, showing up and of course costing the title. Very similar to when Roman Reigns was champion, by the way. So don't start hating on AEW. It was very similar when Roman Reigns was champion with the Bloodline.
But the Bloodline was...
Yes, the storyline was better. The Bloodline
was amazing.
The storyline was better, but I'm talking about the way that the matches ended, because I see a lot of people pointing this out. It was
exactly
the same way. Of course, their teammates getting involved, and of course costing the person who's facing the match. Same way that everything else always happened. But anyways.
Yeah, but we've been talking for a while, though, about Samoa Joe and the Ops being annoying, but I'm glad he's going to be in the main, like you said, the main event title picture. That's always great.
Yeah, no, Death Riders need to go. I can't wait for them to go. But yeah, of course, Samoa Joe versus John Moxley, that's going to be a great filler match until, of course, All In. In terms of who wins that All In, that tournament, I'm hoping it's going to be either Hangman or Will Ospreay. Either one's going to be great. Will Ospreay is super over with the crowd right now, though, so I would not mind if he wins. If he does win at All In, that'd be freaking great. He hasn't won the world title yet. Why the hell not? Give him the freaking title. See what he can do with it. He was great when he was the international champion.
Oh, wait. So All In's in Texas this year.
Yep, it's in Texas.
I said hometown. No. So that's not like it's going to be Hangman. Hangman's not even from Texas, but he got that cowboy, cowboy shit.
Yeah, the cowboy gimmick. So I hope, either one, honestly. Either one would be great.
Oh, yeah.
100%. But anyways, moving on from that, we had Mark Briscoe versus Ricochet. Ricochet, of course, ended up losing after a rollover pin where Mark Briscoe kind of cheated to use the ropes. Ricochet beat the crap out of Mark Briscoe afterwards, tried to use the iconic scissors that he used to beat the crap out of Swerve. And then Kevin Knight came out for the save. So it looks like they're going to build a little storyline between Kevin Knight and Ricochet. Hopefully they're going to have a match soon. I think they are actually at the next pay-per-view. Super excited for that. Kevin Knight, they're booking him pretty well. I'm happy he's in AEW. He's been killing it. No. That's just my opinion.
Did he not have a match during?
Yeah. He had a match later on during the night.
Yeah.
He had a match against
Mike Bailey.
Yeah,
the Young Bucks.
Yeah, it was Mike Bailey and Kevin Owens versus Mike Bailey and Kevin Knight. Sorry, versus of course Undisputed. Versus Young Bucks. Pretty decent match.
Young Bucks won.
Young Bucks ended up picking up the win as they should. They hit the EVP trigger. That was pretty cool. But yeah. Mike Bailey and Kevin Knight look great in this match. They don't need to win. Young Bucks need to win. It makes sense for the storyline. So it was pretty cool that did happen. Of course, I do want to talk about FTR since they're officially heel. They're doing the same thing they did when they were first heels in AEW. They're taking out Living Legends, a.k.a. Rock and Roll Express this week. Yep. Yeah, they took out Rock and Roll Express. But the main thing I want to talk about is Stokely. Stokely is their new manager. I'm happy.
Oh, yes.
I'm pumped for that. Yo, Stokely is their manager.
Stokely back as manager is actually Stokely's a really good heel manager. So
no, nah, Stokely's hilarious. I think this is gonna be fun to watch. Stokely is freaking funny as hell on the mic. I think he's a great manager. He adds a lot to storylines. He's not a wrestler.
But he looked like he didn't even like that they were attacking Rock'n'Roll Express.
I think he's fine with it. That
He looks like that manager. That's like he's a heel, but like I don't know. He's also like.
Yeah. Well, he did say that he was able to reverse her suspension and he was also able to reverse their fine. So he's already doing manager stuff. Great for him. Of course, basically they ended up setting up a match between FTR and Undisputed Kingdom. It's not Undisputed. It's called like the Paragon or something like that now.
My fault. I wrote Undisputed
Kingdom. But it was basically, of course, FTR versus Roderick Strong and Kyle O'Reilly, which was a fantastic match on Collision. The FTR ended up picking up the win. That was the main event. Yeah. That was a great match. If you didn't watch it, definitely freaking watch highlights at least. That match was great. But yeah, FTR picked up the win there on Collision. Nothing really much to talk about there. Just sort of building up FTR a little bit more. They're not going anywhere near those titles anytime soon because Hurt Syndicate have them. No, so I guess they got to do some stuff on the side.
Yeah. Hurt Syndicate looked great.
Yeah, so let's talk about the Hurt Syndicate stuff. Of course, the past couple of weeks, we haven't been able to talk about it, but MJF has been trying to join Hurt Syndicate. He's been trying to give them a whole bunch of stuff. He showed them girls last week. This week, he gave them a car, which was hilarious. He gave them a car.
Yes, a nice sports car this time. He finally got a thumbs up from Shelton this time.
Yeah, so he has two thumbs up. He needs all three.
Yes.
Bobby Lashley's still not giving them the thumbs up, though, which is pretty funny.
Not yet.
Yeah, they're dragging it out. But honestly, I'm loving this storyline. It's been fun.
I mean, it's funny and everything is cool. I just don't know exactly where they're actually going to go for it. If he's actually going to join or if they're going to lead to a match somehow. That's what I'm still like confused about.
Well, but of course, that's the question.
It's been fun.
Do you think that MJF should join the Hurt Syndicate or do you think that they should just end up having like a match against each other?
That's the thing. I don't know. I think he's just he might be too good to be in a team.
But the Hurt Syndicate's so great. It's so great.
No, the Hurt Syndicate is good, and they also at the same time they don't need him. I feel like.
I know what you mean. I feel like you think that MJF needs Hurt Syndicate more than Hurt Syndicate needs MJF, but that's the whole storyline. MJF wants Hurt Syndicate because he knows if he has him by their side, he's going to be able to win that title because he has Bobby Lashley and Shelton Benjamin there. Of course, I feel like that's probably his way of course, getting to the top at the moment.
Yeah, I feel like eventually he'll probably get a thumbs up, but it might be like a fake thumbs up where a couple of weeks he's with them and then they just turn on him. I feel like that's going to happen.
Beat the crap out of him. I feel like.
I don't think Bobby Lashley looks like the guy that even likes MJF at all.
No, he doesn't. But I feel like he is going to get that thumbs up. And I feel like they are going to work together for a little while. I feel like that's eventually going to lead to MJF winning the title. But I feel like as soon as he does win it, Bobby Lashley's going to turn on him. And Bobby Lashley's going to go after that title with Hurt Syndicate to get behind him. That would be pretty cool. That'd be an amazing storyline.
Tag titles, it depends on what they do with the tag team championships, too. That's why.
Yeah, it could be possible that like the week prior or something, like MJF was supposed to help them. Maybe he messes up and then Hurt Syndicate ends up losing the title to like FTR. And then, of course, Hurt Syndicate gets pretty pissed off. MJF has his match for
them. MJF something, maybe.
Exactly. They cost him the title. Or maybe they just turn on him after he wins a title, and then of course he ends up going after the title.
I don't think he's winning the title anytime soon. So
yeah.
So I feel like maybe he goes after the title, and then they cost him that title by also turning him at the same time. Obviously.
Well, that's why I think that like that they should have him join Hurt Syndicate. They should have that very long time. Like he should be with them for like at least 6 months. I feel like that'd be a really fun storyline to have.
I feel like it's way too long.
I don't know. 6 months. I feel like it'd be fun.
I feel like it's got to be only a little time. Because remember, he's got to be all in. He's got to have a big match on All In. I don't think he can be with the Hurt Syndicate.
He could have a match at All In, though, with Hurt Syndicate behind him. It's not like he has to be against Hurt Syndicate at All In.
But I don't think it has to be 6 months. I think that's actually kind of crazy.
I think 6 months would be perfect. I feel like it gives
I think he gets the thumbs up, and then a few weeks, maybe even like 2 months.
I feel like that's too soon.
Then they're like, nah, we don't like this guy. Because I feel like they're going to play him.
I feel like it would be cool to have a storyline where they play him. Like they act like they're Bobby Lashley acts like they're cool. You even get the crowd to think that they're cool, like for a couple of months. Like you think that everything's going great. They're super happy together. They're helping each other win titles. Everything's fantastic. And then out of nowhere, when you least expect it, Bobby Lashley turns on MJF. I feel like that'd be perfect.
We just had that one, Jeff. Adam Cole would act like he had him. They were friends for months.
And but they killed that storyline.
No, I know, but we just had that. We don't need the same thing from MJF with just another person.
Yeah, unless MJF is the one who turns on him because he is the scumbag.
I feel like MJF, yeah, it could be MJF using them, maybe.
Well, that's whole storyline, I think. I think he's just going to end up using him. He calls him Bob all the freaking time.
Yeah. So either way, somebody's going to turn on each other. But I feel like he's going to get in. I just don't think it's going to be that long, like you say.
Yeah.
Because he just had that.
Yeah, you're right. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. I'm pumped for the storyline, though. I think it's great so far. I think that I think AEW's doing great things with that storyline. But of course.
And it's also a great comedy, too. So.
Yeah. We also had Josh Alexander and Takeshita defeating Brody King and Will Ospreay. Josh Alexander joining, of course, Don Callis' family was, I think, perfect. I'm so happy he's in AEW. Like, that dude's so freaking great in the ring. Also, a great guy outside the ring. Yeah, that dude is just freaking, he's so cool. I love that guy. But, Josh Alexander versus Takeshita, I think that's going to be, Josh Alexander and Takeshita together.
Yeah.
And, of course, Don Callis' family is going to be freaking great. And they're doing great things already. I'm pumped.
And that's a big win, yeah. Brody King and Will Ospreay,
Yeah. It does suck. Brody King seems like he's just there to take pinfalls now, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And he's so good. And we're going
to make Will Ospreay lose, yes.
Yeah. I don't know. Brody King's great. But anyways, moving on from that, we had the main event, which was, of course, the Women's Own Heart Cup Foundation Tournament between Jamie Hayter and Chris Statlander. Jamie Hayter and Chris Statlander put on a banger of a freaking match, honestly. That was a great match. That was meat versus meat, but women's. It was great. Yeah. Jamie Hayter ended up picking up her win. Of course, as she said, I'm so pumped that they're pushing Jamie Hayter again. Of course, she moves on to the finals. Super pumped for her. I think she's going to end up winning. I hope that she ends up winning the title. That'd be pretty freaking cool to see, too. Yeah.
Is the finals at the next pay-per-view, maybe? Because we still got months to All In, and that's obviously when they get the title opportunity, whoever wins.
I think so.
It's probably the next
Yeah.
I mean, they got to do it like that. It can't just win the tournament and then wait months to get a title shot. I feel like that's stupid.
Yeah. No, I know what you mean. Yeah. I think that's the case. I think the finals is at the next pay-per-view. And then from there, of course, they have the match at All In. Yeah. Yeah.
And then they build up the feud. Yeah. That's perfect.
It's going to be a great match, honestly. Of course, I think Jamie Hayter is going to pick up the win at All In.
We didn't have any men's Owen Hart tournament on this Dynamite.
I think there's only like two matches left. I think they're going to do them next week. Makes sense, honestly.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm still upset that freaking Jay White got injured a couple weeks ago and I can't even.
That's another one too. Yeah.
Sucks.
So yeah, that's why I think Dynamite was okay. That's why I feel like it wasn't that crazy. Like the only meaningful match was like the last match, and then the other ones were just to build storylines.
I don't know. I thought it was really fun. I thought it was a good thing. I thought the Jamie Hayter versus Chris Statlander match was amazing. Honestly, it was a great match.
No, that's why I said that was one of the only matches that actually made sense, and that's like the tournament match. And Jamie Hayter is definitely next in line for that women's championship.
Yeah, no, 100%. For sure. And then Josh Alexander Takeshita versus Brody King Will Ospreay, fantastic match as well.
No, yeah, the match was. I'm not saying the match was bad. I just think, I don't know.
I don't know. I thought it was a lot of good matches. I feel like the Young Bucks, Mike Bailey, Kevin Knight was great as well. We had, of course, the MGS segment was amazing. I thought it was really fun. Mark Briscoe versus Ricochet, although kind of whatever throwaway match, it was still a pretty decent match.
That's what I'm saying. A lot of it is throw it away. The matches weren't actually bad. They're always going to put on banger matches. We always say this by AEW.
But anyways, that was basically it for AEW. Not really much happened on Collision, of course, other than, of course, that main event, which we did talk about. And then, of course, Mercedes Moné retained her title. That's about it. But
yeah,
that was basically it for, of course, actually, not Mercedes Moné. I'm sorry. Tony Storm. My mistake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tony Storm retained her title. Months away to All In still, but I hope the build up is a lot better than WWE's build up to WrestleMania, because they have the chance to capitalize on that since the WrestleMania buildup wasn't that good. AEW can put a massive buildup to All In
and
get the attention on them.
One thing I want to say is WWE, you need to freaking chill on your ticket prices, bro. Oh, my God. They released a presale tickets for Providence. The freaking nosebleed seats were $200, I think. No, my mistake. They were like $100. They were like about $100. $100 for nosebleed seats. But plus,
a regular show.
For two tickets with like the fees and everything, it was like $260. It's like, bro, what?
Yeah, and it's a regular show. We're not talking about pay-per-view now. This is a regular SmackDown or Raw. Like, this is ridiculous.
Bro, I'm trying to sit up close, and you're telling me it's $260 for two tickets and the freaking nosebleeds? You are crazy. Man,
for 100 and something, you used to be, like, in the floor.
Yeah, no, exactly. We went to AEW, the freaking the Halloween special, which was freaking great, by the
Dynamite.
Way. Yeah, we spent like $100 a ticket, and we were floor seats.
Yes, we was one of your few rows, like
floor seats, like row seven. It was crazy. It was like great.
Yeah, it was great. That was great. That was Austin.
That was the same state. Freaking annoying. It's ridiculous. And then I think last time we went to a freaking WWE show, it was only like $50 for like decent seats.
It was here in Providence, right? It was here.
Decent seats. Like, it's insane.
We always go when they come here.
It's crazy. I don't know. I'm pissed. I'm so mad.
Yeah, I don't know what's
going on. You guys got to chill with those ticket prices. Everybody was saying that too.
Oh, there was a video of Randy Orton when he was walking with his wife. A fan like ran up to him and they were like, oh, this guy spent like 10 grand on a ticket to be all the way. And He was actually kind of almost pissed, like, damn, the tickets are that expensive now.
Yeah, he even apologized to the fan. He was like, I'm sorry that they're, like, being greedy. Like, bro, that's insane.
Yeah. Like, I mean,
did you see Troydon? Troydon spent $38,000 on a freaking VIP ticket.
That video was hilarious. And he couldn't see The Rock again. He was pissed because he's been trying to see The Rock at Royal Rumbles, everything for a while, and he hasn't been able to see him.
Every single time he thinks he's going to show up, he never shows up.
Yeah. He spent mad money. Well, not even him. It was that dude he hangs out with, his mom.
Fungus's mom. Shout out Troydon. Troydon from our childhood, from now. Dude's freaking great. But anyways, that was basically it for Of Course Wrestling this week. Like, comment, subscribe as always. We'll be back next week, of course, with more wrestling news. We appreciate all the love and support we've been getting. Of course, thank you so much for that. Of course, see you guys next week. Peace.